Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents William W. Johnstone's Cotton Pickins. Narrated by Ken Jackson. With performances by Yasmin Toison, David Coyne, Richard Rowan, Thomas Penny, James Konacek, Gary Tells, James Keegan, Terrence Aselford, Gregory Gorton, Timothy Lynch, Daniel Gavigan, Johan Detweiler, Bradley Smith, Michael John Casey, Christopher Graybill, Julianne Elliott, Thomas Keegan, Scott McCormick, Mort Shelby, Margie Tompros, Nanette Savard, Tony Nam, Kimberly Gilbert, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King Williams. Cotton Pickins, number one, Blood Valley.
When I come off that ridge, there wasn't but one thought in my mind. Hunt a hole and crawl in deep. I didn't want to look behind me. I had a pretty good idea what I was going to see. And that would be a good-sized posse with an already knotted rope. And the necktie party they had in mind was going to feature me as the honored guest, if hanging was ever an honor. I knew I should have stayed out of that little pissant town. Something warned me that I was looking at trouble. But I'd been paid off about 10 days back up in Montana territory, and I hadn't as yet found me a place to spend none of it. I had me 6 months' wages, earned hard wintering in a lion shack, and I had me a growling belly. I could smell that food a-cooking in that cafe. Least, I thought I could. Might have been my imagination. I'd run out of grub a couple days back and was so hungry I could have hit the ass end out of a skunk. Well, almost.
Keep it up, critter! We ain't home yet!
I sat Critter on that little hill overlooking the lights of town and ruminated matters around in my head. I figured I'd passed into Wyoming territory a few days back. Not that it made no difference, no ways. I didn't have nobody waiting, neither behind nor ahead of me, and I sure wasn't on no schedule.
What'd you say, Critter?
My horse just looked at me sort of mournful-like. I give him his head, and down that hill we went. He was tired as me, I reckon, looking for a warm stall and a belly full of hay, maybe some corn if he was lucky. The name of the town was Doubtful. That right there should have warned me off. Who in the hell ever heard of a town called Doubtful? But it looked to me a right nice-sized town, and nobody was shooting at me. Yet. The cafe was warm and sort of homey. The food was good, and the gimp-legged, scar-faced man served plenty of it. So, after 2 plates of food and 6 cups of coffee, I just naturally headed for a saloon. I had my choice of 3. I picked the closest one. The place was nearabouts deserted, except for a few hard-looking old boys playing poker. I bought in. Second mistake of the evening. I could tell after a few hands that I was being cold-decked, bottom-dealt, and palmed from the word go. Problem was, they was all so clumsy with it, and that made me mad, like they figured I had just rode in on a turnip wagon and fell off it. I also noted that they was all wearing 2 guns. You don't see no average puncher packing that much iron. So, I told them old boys, all of them, that if they wanted to play poker, why, that was fine with me. But the name of the game was draw, and that meant take the first 5 off the top and halt. One of them asked me my name, and I told him it was Cotton. They all thought that was funny, all except for this fella dressed in a business suit, standing at the bar, drinking him a beer, and eating a hard-boiled egg from the platter. I slipped the hammer thong off my .44 with my right hand and sort of grinned along with him. They thought Cotton was funny. I sure as hell wasn't gonna tell him my Christian last name. Then this fat, ugly, young, and ornery Gunhawk got angry.
You calling me a cheat?
Well, friend, the way you're dealing off the bottom with them pasteboards, it sure looks like it to me.
Why, you horse's ass!
Next thing you know, there was two of them old boys stretched out on the sawdust with holes in them. The air was filled with gun smoke. The guy eating the egg had jumped behind the bar. And I knowed old Cotton had done screwed up again. We just couldn't go no more. My big horse, Critter, was so bad tuckered that he was staggering. And I'd be damned if I was gonna kill my good horse over some tin-horn gamblers. Especially one that was as ugly as that fat one was. Or had been. I found me a stand of timber with a little stream running through it, a sheer rock wall to the back, and a good field of fire to the front. I stripped the saddle off Critter.
Get yourself a good roll and a rest, and keep your head down when the shooting starts.
You spend a lot of time with a horse, you get to talking to it. I used to try to sing to Critter, but every time I done that, he bucked me off. I reckon he had him a tin ear. Surely it wasn't my singing. But come to think of it, I did get blamed for stampeding a herd one time when I was riding Nighthawk. I blamed it on the weather, but the cook said my singing sounded like a bear caught in a trap. I listened to Critter take him a roll and a good long drink, then he got to cropping at the grass. It was spring, with new grass, but this high up, it's liable to be warm, and then an hour later, start snowing. When he finished chomping, I picketed him and got back into position, my Henry at the ready. All full and ready to bark and snarl. Damn, but I was tired. I wasn't much worried about nobody slipping up on me. Critter was better than any watchdog I'd ever seen. He'd warned me. So I just put my head down on my forearm and closed my eyes. Critter's soft nickering woke me up. I opened my eyes to a real pretty day. Sun shining and warm and lazy-like. I couldn't help wondering if this was going to be my last pretty day. Because when I looked around, there was about 20 men sitting on their horses about 250 yards off. I wished I had me a cup of coffee. I'm a coffee-drinking man, and I just hate to start the morning with no cup of coffee. Of course, I didn't feel like ending no morning with no cup, neither.
You crazy son of a bitch!
I reckon the man was hollering at me. Wasn't nobody else around. I kept my mouth shut and listened. Wasn't much else I could do, boxed in like I was.
You there! Man who called himself Cotton! We know you're down there in that holler. Ain't nobody gonna hurt you. We got a proposition for you. That's all!
I looked back at Critter, looking at me, and from the look on his face, he didn't believe the guy neither.
Look here now, don't start no shooting, Mr. Cotton.
Mr. Cotton? Mighty damn formal name calling from a bunch of people who was fixing to hang me. I decided to give it a whirl. Damn near anything beats hanging. I peeked out and squinted my eyes and spotted the feller who'd been gnawing on that egg in the saloon.
I hear you. What do you want?
That there was Jack Nolan you killed back yonder in the saloon. The other one was his partner. The fat one, named Larson. Both of them was gunslingers.
I'd heard of them. Figured they was some better than that.
Is that right? Well, they couldn't drag iron no better than they played cards.
You plenty fast, Mr. Cotton. Might be the man we want. You want a job?
I ain't looking for one.
We'll pay you $100 a month and give you a place to stay.
$100 a month? Hell, it'd take the average cowboy damn near 6 months to earn that much, unless they was drawing fighting wages.
What's the catch?
There ain't no catch. Damn, you sure are suspicious. How about the job?
What kind of job you talking about?
I could see him talking amongst themselves up there on the ridge. They was out in the open, and I could probably knock two or three out the saddle. But they wasn't acting hostile, and I didn't see no one waving no rope around.
We'll give you $125 a month, Mr. Cotton.
What kind of damn job are you jabbering about anyways?
When he told me, I just sort of hunkered there in that holler and was stunned-like. I've been a lot of things in my time, but this one took the cake. I was still sort of not believing it when they handed me the badge. Sheriff of Puma County, Wyoming Territory. I looked down at the badge in my hand. I thought there was supposed to be an election before someone got to be sheriff. George Waller, the man who'd been chewing on that egg and who was the mayor of Doubtful and who'd just sworn me in a manner of mumbling, cleared that up right quick, sort of.
Well, there was. We had it last night, right after you killed them gun hands. Everybody that's in town voted for you. Congratulations, Sheriff Cotton. That is your rightful Christian name, ain't it?
When I had to be, I was as good at mumbling as he was.
One of them, yeah. How about the folks out in the country? The ranchers?
The scar-faced, gimp-legged cafe man threw a quick glance at the mayor.
We rung the town bell. They didn't hear it. It was their hard luck. We outvote them anyways.
Uh-huh. Well, am I supposed to handle the whole county by myself?
Oh, no. You can have up to 4 deputies. The problem is, nobody wants a job.
He looked like he was unhappy he told me that. The woman who ran a boarding house stepped up.
But that don't mean there ain't men to be had.
I took one look at her, and once a day would be plenty, and figured she'd know if there was a man to be had anywhere in the territory. That woman, Belle something or the other, was so ugly that she could stop an eagle in a dive just by looking at it. I scratched my woolly head, woolly because I ain't had a bath in 2 weeks, and done some thinking. Now, I ain't never took myself to be no real intelligent fellow. My mama, God rest her soul, didn't have to hide me under no bucket because of my brilliance. I can read and write and figure some.
Sheriff?
I'm thinking.
I can bust near about to any horse I ever tossed a saddle on, and I can ride and rope with the best of them. And I got to admit, I'm more than passing fair with a 6-gun, too.
You ain't thinking about backing out, are you, Sheriff?
No, I ain't. I'm praying. That's what I'm doing.
Let's all bow our heads, too.
Fine. Let me get done with mine, and then we'll talk some more.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
They all took to mumbling, and I went back to thinking. I gotta say, I've ridden the Hoot Owl Trail a time or two, but not because I broke any laws. I'm just sort of a curious type, that's all. I wanted to see how the outlaws lived. According to them Penny Dreadful books, they was all glamorous. But I soon found out they lived mighty damned sorry, that's how.
Hallelujah!
I like to have jumped out of my boots.
Hush!
Before she took a run in a boarding house, Belle must have had her a job calling hogs. Top hand, that's me. Cotton. I don't use my last name much. I ain't ashamed of it. I just figure Cotton will do. I've punched cows from Texas to Montana territory. I've been over the Bitter Root and seen the ocean. Took my breath away. Damn near as much as that place folks got to call in the Grand Canyon. It's grand, all right. I seen it just after Major Powell come along in 69. But I got lost as a goose in there. Took me 3 days to find my way out. I don't talk about that much. But this job. There was something about this here sheriffing job that just wasn't shaping up right in my mind. I looked up. Everybody was looking at me.
What happened to the last sheriff?
Oh, why, he up and quit.
I reckon George knew I'd find out anyways.
And the one before him?
He got roped and drugged.
And the one before him?
He got killed.
Now I was getting down to the facts.
Who killed him and why?
Gun hands from the Circle L right out there in front of my place. I killed him in a fair fight. And cause he was a coward and they knowed it.
Baited him like you would a bull, huh?
Yes, sir.
I thought a mite longer. Now, if I could stick it out for a year, I could have me a right nice poke. By living close, I could have 1,000. And that could get me started on a small spread. I looked at that cafe man kinda hard.
I get my meals free.
Oh, now, hey, wait a minute. You had enough last night for 3 people.
But George gave him an eyeballing and he closed his mouth. They probably figured I'd be dead in a month anyways.
Well, certainly, Sheriff, that's fine.
And I ain't buying my own lead, neither.
Yeah, that's perfectly understandable. Get them at my store.
Belle batted her eyelashes at me. Plumb sickening.
Where do I bunk?
George swelled up like a coon in the moonlight.
Right there.
He pointed toward the rear.
You got 2 nice rooms back yonder and a 2-hole privy out back. It's even got a back flap for better ventilation.
Okay, you folks got yourselves a sheriff.
Oh, goody!
They all shook my hand, and Belle puckered up, but I shook her hand, too. She just grinned big and batted her eyes, and then sashayed out to the boardwalk, her bustle a-jumping from right to left. You ever followed a cow? You know what I mean. With that rear end of hers, she didn't need no extra girth. 2 axe handles wide as it was. I stuck the badge in my pocket and began unpacking my kit and war bag. I was gonna have to buy me some new duds. Mine was shabby looking. Digging down in my war bag, I fished out my 2nd gun. I seldom wore it, cause don't nobody but tin horns and trouble hunters and them looking for a reputation pack 2 shotguns. Well, maybe another tap. Lawmen toting a big badge that makes them a handy target. Walking over to Leonard Silverman's Emporium, I got me a better look at the town of Doubtful. It was some bigger than I gleaned at night. 2 full blocks of stores on either side. Several saloons, a couple of general stores, a hotel, leather shop, smithy, a dress shop, spelt with 2 P's and 2 E's. Didn't look right to me. And half a dozen older businesses I'd have to look at closer. Now, I reckon I did look like a saddle bum, but that wasn't no excuse for what happened next. I wasn't dressed up like no dandy. Old wore-out jeans and a shirt with the elbows ragged. My left boot had a piece of rawhide tied around it to keep the sole from flapping. But I ain't never believed in making fun of other folks just because they wasn't dressed to the nines. I heard the rioters, and they was coming hard, kicking up dust like a bunch of idiots and shooting pistols into the air and hooping and hollering. And me? I was caught right in the middle of that street. Must have been a dozen hands and 1 woman. And that woman was riding astride. I've seen plenty of squaws ride that way, but never no white woman. It kind of come as a shock to me.
Ride him down!
Now, that woman screamed that for no good reason that I could think of.
Nobody stands in our way.
But that made me mad. I never could abide no one that thought he or she was so almighty big they could just run over other people. I have whooped more than 2 or 3 in my time. Them old boys come a-fogging straight at me. I stepped back, judged the speed of that lead hoss, and when he come even with me, I just reached up and snatched that red-headed young rider off the horse and flung him not too gently to the dirt. The brand on the horse's hip that the horse's ass had been riding was Circle L. The wind was knocked out of the cowboy on the ground, but them others had made the turn down at the far end of the street and was looking at me. That she person, sitting astride, had hate in her eyes that I could read from this distance. I just quick-stepped on across that street and was up on the boardwalk before they could do anything more about it.
Somebody get Rusty! We'll deal with that saddle tramp later.
So now I was a saddle tramp. Well, hell, I'd been called a lot worse than that. Leaning against the support post of the awning over the boardwalk, I watched as the woman said something to a big gent on a midnight black horse. He rode down my way, wheeled in, and sat staring at me. The gent was a big, handsome-looking man, and his clothes was expensive-looking. I say handsome, but his face was cruel-looking. Real slow and dramatic-like, he dug in a pocket of his leather vest and hauled out a timepiece, smiling at me as he clicked it open.
2 hours.
He clicked the watch shut.
That's how long we're gonna be in town. That's how long you got till you get roped and dragged. No saddle bum puts a hand on any Circle L rider.
You the one who roped and drugged one of the lawmen a time back? His eyes narrowed. I reckon he was trying to figure out how I came to know that.
You're a nosy bastard, ain't you, saddle bum?
I shrugged my shoulders.
Let's just say I'm the curious type. And you didn't answer my question, neither.
Why would I waste my time talking to a tramp?
Hell, you come to me, not the other way around, remember?
His face flushed up red, and his eyes turned real ugly.
You won't be near about as mouthy when I get through with you, punk.
He wheeled around and left me in a cloud of dust. He had him a big mouth, but he had the size to back it up, too. Looked to be about 6'4", 230 or 40 pounds. I just wasn't all that impressed. I looked out the side window of the sheriff's office and checked my timepiece, the sun. In an hour's time, I'd had me a shave and a good hot bath. Had to dump the water 3 times before I got clean. Before I'd done all the spit and polishing, I'd bought some new duds at the Emporium. If I was gonna be sheriff, I figured I'd best look the part. I left my new suit and some shirts and breeches at the Chinaman's place, and now I was all decked out in spanking new duds, bandana tied proper around my neck. Them new boots felt good. Of course, my socks and long johns was new, too. Socks fit fine, but that new underwear was just a mite itchy. When I got back to the office, I'd hung that second gun on, left side, butt forward. I ain't as fast with it as I was with my right side gun, but I ain't been beat with it neither. It was a gambler's gun, meaning the barrel was some shorter than my right side 44. Checking myself in the mirror, noticing that I hadn't got no prettier, I gave my cowlick a lick and put my hat on. It was old, but I'd had Wong brush it off while I was wallowing around in the tub out back. From pure habit, I checked both guns, left the hammer thong off my gambler's gun, pinned on the star, and stepped out onto the boardwalk. Half a block down, I stepped into George Waller's general store. I have always loved the smell of a general store. The leather, tobacco, spices, and pickle barrel all mingled their smells together. I got me a cracker and a hunk of cheese and a pickle, munching on that while I waited for George to finish with a customer.
Yes, sir, Sheriff.
Circle L man who rides a black horse. He's about as big as the horse, and he's got a big fat mouth.
Ah, Sheriff, that's Big Mike Romaine. He's the foreman at Circle L.
Is that supposed to impress me? I can tell you he don't.
Well, no, Sheriff, not at all, but Big Mike is a bad man to fool with. You've had trouble with Big Mike already?
That wild woman with him ordered her boys to ride me down. Then this Big Mike tells me he's gonna have me roped and drugged. And the more I think on it, the madder I'm getting.
I don't blame you. Now you see what the good citizens of this town have to put up with, Sheriff. And why lawmen ain't lasted too long.
You just never had the right lawman. George, you depend on the Circle L for a living?
He picked up on my drift right quick. He smiled and shook his head.
No, Sheriff. This part of the territory's filling up with ranchers and farmers. We hired you to keep the peace. No one is immune from the law. No one.
Fancy words. But I wondered if, when it got down to the humping, would George and the others really back me up? Bell had been listening from the open door.
That Mike Romaine is nothing more than a brute!
She stamped her foot. Good-sized foot, I noticed. That foot stomping knocked a trace chain off a peg. And I had me a hunch that Bell would like to hang a saddle on that brute and try to ride him. Nodding my head at George and smiling at Bell, I took my leave. As I was walking up the boardwalk, I heard Bell.
Oh, what a handsome man, Mr. Waller. I think I'm going to swoon.
I picked up my pace, not wanting to be around if she did come down with the vapors. It'd take a mule team and a pulley to get her back on her feet. Walking to the Wolf's Den saloon, I pushed open the bat wings and stepped inside, pausing for a second to let my eyes adjust to the sudden dimness. I walked to a table and sat down, my back to the wall. All in the place had taken some notice of the badge on my shirt. Big Mike's eyes narrowed considerable.
What'll it be, Sheriff?
Beer.
The beer was cold and good, and I knocked back half the mug.
About 2 hours ago, there was this big-mouthed, overbearing, candy-ass son of a bitch who told me he was gonna rope and drag me. Well, here I am.
Man, that place got so quiet you could hear a fly fart. Folks started moving chairs back, out of the line of fire. Big Mike had stiffened when I called him that name, as any man with any pride would have done. Now he turned to face me, his face ugly with hate.
You might not like me, Sheriff, but my mother was a good woman. I'll not have her name slurred in such a manner.
I took my time thinking about that.
All right. It ain't your mama's fault what you turned out to be.
That really pissed him off.
You son of a...
But the big mouth, overbearing candy ass stands.
He was so mad he was trembling. I looked around for the woman who'd ordered me rode down. She wasn't in the saloon. Might be hopes for her yet, but I kind of doubted it, considering the company she kept. There was a lady in the saloon, however, but I figured her for the owner, way she was all decked out in satin with her petticoat showing. She was kind of familiar to me, but I couldn't quite place the face.
Get him, Rusty!
The cowboy I jerked out of the saddle and dumped in the street stepped forward. Another one of those two-gun types, hung low and tied down. Matter of fact, I'd noticed that nearly all the Circle L boys was wearing two guns, and they all had a salty look about them, like maybe they was drawing fighting wages. But the cowboy called Rusty had kind of a different look about him, like maybe he didn't really like what he was doing, but the pay was good, so he'd try it. Now he wasn't so sure about it. I stood up, the thumb of my right hand resting on my belt buckle, the fingers just inches from the butt of that gambler's gun.
You got first dibs, Rusty. He did dump you in the street.
But Rusty didn't appear all that eager. Not that he was afraid, for I didn't believe he was. I think he was just a pretty good old boy who got caught up in a bad deal.
You realize I can put you in jail for bracing me, don't you, Rusty?
That badge supposed to make you a big man, Saddlebum?
No, but it does make me the law.
Everybody in the place, except for the lady and Rusty, thought that was real funny. That woman kept staring at me, like she was trying to figure out where she'd seen me.
Sheriff, did you ride for the Hildebrandt outfit up in Montana Territory a few years back?
Yep.
I did not take my eyes off of the cowboy named Rusty.
Thought it was you. I seen you brace them three Reno brothers in that boomtown just south of the Little Belt Mountains.
Yeah, knowed I'd seen you somewheres.
All them hard cases in the room was listening real close.
I helped take up the collection to bury all three of them boys.
Any steam Rusty might have built up left him a hell of a lot quicker than it come to him. His face suddenly got sweaty, and he come up out of that gunfighter's crouch, his mouth hanging open.
You better shut that trap, cowboy. Flies is bad this early in the season.
Your name Cotton?
Yep.
All of a sudden, there was a lot of old boys looking in every which direction, not at me. Like I said, I wasn't unknown when it comes to gunslicking. I just never made no big deal out of it.
Heard of you, but I think I'm better.
One way to find out.
But Mike was real careful to keep his hands away from his guns. I killed my first man when I was 10 years old. A Blackfoot Indian, if I recall right. A whole bunch of them was trying to bust into our cabin, and the west wall was mine to protect. I killed my first white man when I was about 13. He was trying to steal our milk cow. Fever got my folks shortly after that. My brothers and sisters was farmed out to neighbors, but I took off. And I've been on my own lonesome hustle ever since. I reckon I have picked up the name of gunfighter, but it wasn't nothing I went looking for. Rusty looked like he was coming down with something terrible contagious. He backed up, his hands relaxed, palms up.
Take him, Rusty. That's an order.
Hell with your orders. You want him so bad, you take him. Come to think of it, I ain't never seen none of your graveyards.
You insolent yellow pup.
Mac slapped him, the blow knocking the smaller man to the sawdust. The kid had sand. I'll give him that. He come up off that floor and took a swing at Big Mike, about like a gnat trying to fight a mosquito hawk. Big Mike hit him once, a hard straight right, and Rusty hit the floor and didn't move. Big Mike dug in his pocket and tossed a handful of silver coins to the floor and on Rusty.
Let's ride.
Romaine looked at me.
I'll see you around, Sheriff.
Yeah, I imagine you will, Romaine. Cause you're gonna screw up. And when you do, I'm gonna put your big ass in jail.
You'll play hell ever doing that.
Then I reckon I'll just have to shoot you, Romaine. Why don't we settle it now?
Mike!
I recognized the holler. The same woman who wanted me rode down.
Saved by a woman. You're a lucky man, Romaine.
That got next to him. I really thought he was gonna jerk iron. But he just turned his big butt to me and walked out, his punchers trailing along behind him. Kneeling down by Rusty, I noted that he was gonna have a shiner for a few days.
I'll get him a beefsteak. Couple of you boys haul him up and sit him over there.
The barkeep leaned over and dumped a pitcher of water on the puncher. Rusty sat up, allowing the boys to drag him to a table and sit him down. I got me another beer, and one for Rusty. The woman, she introduced herself as Mary, brought a beefsteak out, and Rusty held it to the side of his face.
How old are you, Rusty?
20.
He grinned, and I liked him immediately.
And for a minute here, Mr. Cotton, I didn't think I was going to get much older, neither.
How'd you get tied up with the Circle L?
Signed on to shove beeves around. Then the word come down about 6 months back that anyone who wanted to ride for the brand had best be ready to fight for it. Some left. I stayed, figuring the fighting wages would come in handy.
He shrugged his shoulders.
I was gonna quit come payday anyhow.
How good are you with them hog legs?
Better than average, I reckon. But not nearabouts in your class.
You ain't worried about what people's gonna say?
About me backing down? Hell no. I'm alive.
I returned his grin.
That's your money laying over yonder on the floor.
Mary got her swamper to pick up the money. He laid it on the table, and Rusty shoved a dollar at the old man.
Well, thanks, old-timer.
I liked that gesture, even though the old swamper would surely spend it on rotgut.
What are you gonna do now, Rusty?
I don't know. Drift, I reckon. When Big Mike fires someone, it ain't wise to hang around. Only two I know of that's still around is DeGraff and Bertale. They pretty salty old boys. Mike's got this hang-up about roping and dragging folks.
So I heard. How much was he paying you at the brand?
50 and found.
I give you 75 and one meal a day and a place to bunk.
His eyes widened.
Doing what?
Toting the deputy's badge.
His grin was infectious. He stuck out his mitt and I shook the work-hardened hand.
You done hired yourself a deputy, Sheriff.
The middle of the afternoon, next day, Rusty had been sworn in by George Waller, and we'd spent some time cleaning up the office and finding out where things was. It had been quiet so far. We'd made a visit to all the businesses and introduced ourselves. Now we was relaxing, sitting on a bench in front of the office, talking.
Who's this woman that was riding with Mike Romaine?
I thought you knew.
No.
That's Joy Lawrence, AJ's daughter. She and Wanda Mills think they's queens of the valley.
Circle L and Rocking Horse that big?
I hadn't had time to ride out and inspect for myself. Something I needed to do.
I should say, they're two-thirds of the big three, as they're called around here. Circle L, Rocking Horse, and Quartermoon. Matt Mills owns the Rocking Horse. Rolf Baker owns the Quartermoon. One lies at the western edge of the county, one the north, and the other to the east.
And lots of little spreads caught up in the middle, hey?
You got it, Sheriff. Between the three of them, they must control close to 1,000,000 acres. But don't nobody really know for sure. You see, the nesters and small ranchers is stringing wire. But they want to know exactly what they own and so forth. Lawrence and Mills don't want that. They want free access to the water like they've always had. But the Quarter Moon ain't bad. Baker ain't pushing for no more land or water. He's got the best water and graze of them all. Rocking Horse and Circle L.
He shook his head.
There's gonna be a lot of blood spilt.
And just the two of us standing in the way of it, Rusty.
Yeah, I give that some thought last night, Sheriff. I sure done it.
But you're still here.
I like it when things get to jumping.
It was the same old story, and I'd been caught up in similar situations before. Some people get a lot, and they want more, and they get the feeling that they're kings. It had been that way up in Montana territory when I'd been riding for Hildebrandt. Old boy named Williston had him a big spread and got power mad, shoving and killing. He just had to have more land. He finally got his wish when he braced that old salty dog, Hildebrandt. Williston got him 6 feet more land. That was right after I dropped them Reno boys.
I heard about them Reno brothers. I heard they was real fast.
Yeah, they wasn't fast enough. Well, one of them was, I reckon. He beat me to the draw, but he put his first bullet in the dirt. Rusty, how come the sheriffs don't last long in this county?
I hope you ain't thinking that I had anything to do with any of that mess, Sheriff.
I don't. George Waller said you was a good boy that just turned briefly down the wrong road.
Yeah, good way of putting it, I reckon. The lawmen, well, one of them was ambushed, another got roped and drugged to death, next one quit, another got killed, and so on. Why? Because Mills and Lawrence don't believe no law applies to them, or none of the hands. You see, Sheriff, the range of the big three spreads kind of makes a half a circle on the top of the county, connecting. Man, you ought to see the main ranch houses of Lawrence and Mills. Them folks live like kings and queens.
So they've been here a long time?
Lawrence and Mills and Baker was the first white men in this area. To settle, I mean. I think Preacher might have been the first white man to roam around here.
I've heard of him.
You know Smoke Jensen?
Oh, not personal. But I seen him work one time. That's the fastest man with a gun anywhere. Left hand or right hand.
So I heard. Anyways, Baker and Mills and Lawrence come in as young men. They all married about the same time. All their kids is about the same age.
This Joy, she playing with a full deck?
She's just natural mean, Sheriff. Just like her brother, A.J. Jr. They're spoiled and they're cruel. They ain't never wanted for nothing. And Junior is fast with a gun, remember that? He's good. But he likes to hurt people, especially women. He's raped more than one.
Why hadn't someone hung the bastard?
Between the two ranches, Rockin' Horse and Circle L, Sheriff, they can mount 150 men.
I guess that answers my question.
Mills and Lawrence had them kids tutored. The teachers brung in from overseas, French and English. A baker's wife, well, was a well-educated lady herself, with money of her own. She taught her own youngins, Pepper and Jeff. They right good kids.
Pepper's a girl?
And how. Just looking at her makes a man want to go run rabbits and howl at the moon. I know, I done some howling myself one night.
She must be a sight to behold.
Prettiest thing you ever seen in all your life, Sheriff. And Big Mike wants her bad. Goes courting her. But she won't have nothing to do with him.
She come up a whole lot in my eyes with that statement.
Now then, right in the middle of that half circle I told you about is the fly in the soup. Maggie Barnett and Gene Knight. Their husbands was killed fighting the Circle L and Rocking Horse. Nobody could prove it, but everybody knew who'd done it. That happened some years before I come down here. So them gals, they just up and joined spreads and formed the Arrow Band. Little spread, about 75,000 acres. And them two gals is tougher than Wang leather, let me tell you that right now. And cuss? Lord have mercy.
How do they ride? Rusty rolled his eyes.
Astride. Plumb indecent. The Arrow Hands ain't young by no means, but they're salty old boys. And Miss Maggie and Miss Jean can ride like men, work like men, and shoot just as good as any man.
I looked up and down the main street. At the far end was a church. At the other end, a schoolhouse. And in the middle, three saloons. The Wolf's Den, the Dirty Dog, and stuck back, almost in an alley, was Juan's Cantina.
Odd to find a Mex joint this far north.
Well, there's sheep to the south of us. The sheepmen gather at the Cantina. The crews from the Big Three gather at the Wolf's Den. The smaller ranchers and nesters gather at the Dirty Dog. Small ranchers and farmers are banding together for protection. That's the first time I ever seen that.
I thought for a moment.
What is today?
Friday, Sheriff. Box social night at the school. Dancing and all that, too.
Like you bid on ladies' dinner boxes?
Yeah.
Lots of folks turn out?
Nearabouts everybody in the whole area. Some left at dawn just to get here. I've only been to a couple of them. Punchers are said to be too rowdy for the good folks.
Is that a fact?
Yep.
I just might make that social tonight, Rusty.
Should be interesting, Sheriff. Big Mike never misses one.
The buckboards started rattling in about 4:30 that afternoon. A lot of them trailed by heavily armed outriders. I didn't think they were there cause of Indian trouble. It had been 4 years since the Little Bighorn fight and the following Injun wars. There was still a right smart amount of Injuns around, but this area was so populated, Injuns mostly stayed away. The Crow, Blackfeet, Flatheads, and Cheyenne was north of us, mostly up in Montana territory. No, I had me a hunch that all this gun-toting didn't have nothing to do with Injuns. I said as much to George Waller. Rusty had wandered off somewhere.
Yeah, it's coming, Sheriff. The lid could fly off the pot at any time.
I shoved my hat back and stared at him. Must have made him uncomfortable. He fidgeted some.
The cattlemen want the sheep out. The sheepmen say they're staying. Two of the Big Three want the nesters out. Nesters say they're here to stay.
And the arrow spread?
Right in the middle with prime land. Good graze, good water. Circle L and Rocking Horse want that land bad.
Was that it? Was that all this was about? For sure, men had died for less. The lust for power does strange things to people sometimes. I nodded at George and walked down the boardwalk. Strangest damn town I'd ever been in. Taking my time, I made toward the schoolhouse, tipping my hat and smiling at the ladies, nodding to the menfolk.
Coming to the social tonight, Sheriff?
I'll be there.
Walking on up to the school, I seen a gaggle of women folks spreading tablecloths out on long, made-up tables. They was giggling and carrying on like they do. They give me the once-over, and some of them started whispering amongst themselves and sneaking looks at me. I done a quick about-face and got the hell gone from there. Tell you the truth, women folk make me nervous. A sashaying and a twitching around, and you don't never know what they're thinking, neither. Give me a good horse and a good gun anytime. A dog is right nice to have around, too. A man can depend on him. And a good watch. I wanted me a good watch. One of them gold railroad watches with a nice fob. Matter of fact, I seen some watches down at Waller's store.
Come payday, by God, I'll just get me one.
Walking back, I stopped midtown and stared at the coming up parade. There they was, coming in east by north. So it had to be the Circle L and Rocking Horse bunch. My, but they was making a grand entrance. Like some of them East Indian Putin toots I've read about. I wasn't real sure what a Putin toot was, but I figured it was somebody who thought more of himself than other folks did. I had to take me a second look to see for sure if that was the same woman that hollered like a whore to have me run down day before. It was. But this time, she was sitting in a surrey, and she was all gussied up in a fancy gown and was a twirling a little pink parasol. I leaned against a post and watched the parade. Best show I'd seen since I was a kid up on the Yellowstone, and old Lady McKinney got her dress tail caught up in the door one windy day. Took it plumb off. She wasn't wearing nothing under the gingham, neither. I never saw such a sight in all my 9 years of living. I run home and told my pa, and he like to fell down, he was laughing so hard. I told Mama, and she whooped me. Took me years to figure that one out. That older man sitting beside Joy, he wasn't that old, maybe 45, That had to be her pa, old AJ himself. I wondered if the J stood for Joy. If so, his middle name was as strange as my last name. And there was Big Mike, sitting up on that big black of his, looking like hell warmed over. Then I seen the Outriders, and I knew right off that the 125 I was getting was some short. It gave me sort of a funny feeling in the gut. Rusty joined me by the hitch rail.
You know any of them, Sheriff?
Most of them. And there ain't a one there that's worth a damn for nothing except gunslinging.
And I was speaking the truth. There was Lydell Townsend, Tanner Smith, Dick Avedon. There was the Mex gunfighter, Sanchez, riding a horse with a rocking horse brand. Jim Reynolds, Hank Hawthorne, Joe Coyle, Little Jack Bagwell, Johnny Bull, and Tom Marks. There were some others I couldn't write off hang a name on.
That one on the bay, that's Waldo Stamps, Texas gun hawk. Clay Dundee on the paint. Behind him is Fox Breckenridge. There's Ford Childers, the Arizona gun hand. And that's the German, Hoffman.
The fat one? The back shooter?
That's him. See that close rifle boot? It's a .44-40. And he's dead right with it.
So I hear.
The Motherall boys is just as good as any of them. They just ain't got no public names yet.
Rusty, what in the hell is going on around here? Do you know?
All sorts of rumors, Sheriff, from gold to oil. I think all that is just talk to cover up a range war.
Yeah, that'd be my guess, too. When did all these gunslingers start showing up around here?
Well, Rockin' Horse and Circle L has always had a few gun hands on the payroll, more to protect the kids than anything else. About a year ago, that's when Mills and Lawrence really started hiring on gun hands.
And that's when the lawmen started going down, huh? How many? Four?
Something like that. Yeah, four's right, I think.
The second buggy come better into view. An older man and a pretty young woman.
That Wanda Mills and her pa?
Yeah, the second queen of the valley.
Where's the mother of them gals?
They hardly ever come into town. They don't associate much with the lower classes. Besides, I don't even know if they're around here. They might have gone off on some trip. They're always going here and yonder.
Must be a terrible burden for them ladies to have to bear.
He looked at me to see if I was serious. Then he grinned.
Oh, yeah. Plum awful load to have to tow the rain.
For some reason, the passing parade of highfalutin folks had stopped. The fancy Surrey with Joy in her paw was closest to Rusty and me, and old AJ was giving me a good hard once over. I had stepped down to stand by the hitch rail with Rusty.
You there! Get over here! I want to talk to you.
Your legs broke?
Man, old AJ puffed up like a spreading adder. His face high-colored like a wild berry. There was a hard pounding of hooves, and a young man on a fine-looking red horse was glaring down at me. The family resemblance was strong. So strong that this had to be AJ Jr. 21 or so years old, and no little feller neither. And damned if he wasn't wearing two guns. I never in all my life seen so many men who fancied two short guns. I smiled real friendly at the young man. My, but he was all slicked up. Fancy silk shirt and handsome vest, tailor-made breeches and hand-tooled boots. He sure cut a fancy figure. And then he had to open his damn mouth. Kind of ruined my image of him. But I kept smiling.
When my father orders you to do something, you will, by God, do it.
Pushiest bunch of damn folks I ever did see. Sort of put a damper on my right friendly smile.
Sonny, you best run along now, before I jerk you off that horse and have to teach you some manners. Like your pa and ma should have done a long time ago.
Joy took the fan in herself like she was coming down with the flashes or something, and old AJ blustered.
How dare you!
Young Junior looked like he was gonna have a heart attack.
Junior sure needs it, Sheriff. And I'd give a double eagle just to see you do it.
And I double her offer!
I didn't know who was saying what, because I wasn't about to take my eyes off Junior.
Let's pass the hat for the sheriff. Put the money right in here, ladies and gents.
I think I'll just kill you.
Junior grabbed for iron. I've been blessed with good coordination nearabouts all my life. I'm a shade under 6 feet tall, but I weigh more than most people would guess, and I'm uncommonly strong, with a lot of hard-packed muscle in my arms and shoulders. You wrestle beeves all your life, and you get that away. And I'm quick, real quick. I wintered with a China person one time, got to be real good friends with him. He taught me a different way to fight, and taught me concentration. So when Junior grabbed for iron, I just reached up, snatched him off that horse, and gave him a little mid-air help towards a water trough. He landed face first, full length, and sank like a rock. Through it all, I heard Rusty ear back the hammer on his .44.
First man to grab iron, I put lead in Mike Romaine.
And I'm standing behind the deputy, backing the law.
I didn't have time to see who else was with me in this squabble.
This is intolerable! Outrageous!
I'm going to faint!
You saddle tramp son of a bitch! No one treats me that way and lives!
Junior rose out of the horse trough without his pearl-handled pistols, lost somewhere between saddle and horse trough, and his pretty duds was all messed up and smelly. Then he took a swing at me. He dropped like a ripe tomato on the vine. Down, but not out. Reaching down, I got me a handful of wet shirt and hauled him to his feet. I gave him a little shove toward the jail. He must have tripped or something, because he went down face full in the dirt.
You're under arrest. Threatening the life of a peace officer and disturbing the peace.
You can't do this to me or my son, you ignorant ass!
Watch my back!
I never stopped walking and shoving Junior, who had him a dirty face and a bad case of bleeding and busted mouth.
You can't do this to me!
Looks like he's doing it, Junior!
I locked up Junior and went back outside. AJ was out of his buggy. Joy hadn't fainted as yet, and was standing on the boardwalk talking with the gent who'd been earlier pointed out to me as Lawyer Stokes. AJ was flapping his arms and hollering.
You there! Sheriff!
I pushed through the knot of horses.
Get these horses off the street and stabled or rain down, or I'll stick the whole bunch of you in jail for blocking a public road.
I met Johnny Bull's eyes. He nodded at me. Now, I didn't have no idea if that law, or any other law for that matter, was on the town's books. But it sounded good, and it got results.
He means it. We could take him, but he'd kill half a dozen of us before we did.
Bull turned back to me.
Some other time, Cotton.
I'll be around, Johnny.
Except for the Surrey, the street cleared, the riders breaking up and moving out.
Sheriff, I demand you release young Lawrence, and that you do so immediately.
And I demand that you get your face out of mine, for I put you in jail for interfering with a peace officer.
Good thing I'd read that book on law that time. One written by some Englishman named Blackstone, I think he was. Cowboys that can read will read anything. Bean can labels, five-year-old newspapers, mail order catalogs, even the Bible when times get desperate.
Rusty? You get over to the office and find that bond sheet, get the dollar amount for Junior's charge. Write it up, and then Daddy can come up with money and get his big mouth kid out of the calaboose.
I looked around.
Okay, folks, show's over. See you all tonight at the social.
The townspeople, all of them grinning, began moving out. A man held up a heavy-looking hat.
I'll bring this by your office, Sheriff. And it was worth every penny, believe me.
Will you listen to me, Sheriff?
What?
Then he made the mistake of grabbing my arm and jerking me back, spinning me round. I dropped him to his butt in the horse droppings. Stokes put down his hands and stuck both of them in piles of manure.
Bobby, look at the funny man!
If your nose gets to itching, I'd suggest you scratch it with your knee.
The young woman who put up the first double eagle was laughing so hard she was leaning up against a building for support. From what I could see, she was sure some fine-looking filly.
Rusty, come put Stokes in the bucket and charge him with battery on a peace officer. Set his bond, too.
Outrageous!
I turned on AJ.
You want to go to jail, too?
He closed his mouth.
You get $5 for every arrest you make, Sheriff.
That got my attention. Way things was going, I'd have that spread and all stocked, too, before summer was out. Howsomever, way I was fast making enemies, I just might not live to the end of the summer. Stokes was sitting in the dirt, in the horse shit, on his butt, his mouth all swole up. Rusty helped him up, just a tad rough, and marched the lawyer off to the jailhouse. Turning, I looked at the woman who thought it all hysterically funny. She met my eyes, and like them writers say in them dime novels, my old heart went bong. She was about 5'2" tall, robin's egg blue eyes, hair the color of wheat, heart-shaped face, figure that was, well, it was. Somebody ought to write a song about 5'2" and eyes of blue. Be a right catchy tune, I bet. I took my hat off and took a step towards her. The toe of my boot caught on the lip of the boardwalk. I grabbed her and she grabbed me, and together the two of us kept me from falling down. Plum embarrassing, but she sure did feel nice, though. She thought it was right funny. Personal, I didn't see the humor in it. My eyes bugged out later when I seen the contents of that hat. More than $200 in there. I wanted to keep the Stetson, too, but the owner balked at that. The lawyer and Junior had been bonded out, both of them madder than hell. Shadows was beginning to creep around the town as me and Rusty got dressed for the social. I'd bought me a new suit and had the Chinaman press it to get the shelf marks out. My boots was blacked, and I was all decked out in a new shirt with a little string tie. My face was patted down smelly good with bay rum. I strapped on my guns and pinned on my badge. A little boy stuck his head into the office.
Sheriff?
That's him with the big feet.
I give him a look that didn't have no effect at all, and took the envelope from the boy and gave him some money for a sarsaparilla drink. The kid ducked out of the office. Careful-like, I tore off one end of the envelope. A double eagle rolled out. I grinned like a schoolboy as I read the note. Pretty handwriting.
My box is wrapped in red. White bow.
It was signed, Pepper. Rusty peered over my shoulder.
Lord have mercy!
Mind your own truck.
I careful folded the note and tucked it away in my pocket. I'd save it. That was the first letter I'd ever got in my life, posted or otherwise. Rusty wouldn't let up.
Oh, man! Pepper Baker's had suitors lined up from the Sweetwater to the South Fork Shoshone. But she never give none of them the time of day.
Yeah? Well, maybe she ain't never met no one quite like me.
Yeah, I'd sure go along with that.
He drew back and looked at me.
There must be something there, but damn if I can see it. You look like a lost calf in a snowstorm.
Well, you sure ain't got nothing to brag about. I never seen so many freckles.
We insulted each other for a time, then prepared to do our rounds.
Take the other side of the street, Rusty. We'll make rounds and then meet up at the school.
I might not be no great shakes as a lawman, but I was gonna give it all I had. Stepping into the cantina, I nodded to the barkeep, a big rough-looking Mex with a bushy mustache. He didn't look like he was too thrilled to see me, but he also knew there wasn't nothing he could do about it.
Just making rounds, barkeep. No trouble.
He nodded his head and relaxed a mite, putting his hands on the bar to show me they was empty. I took a casual look around the place. The clothing and the low-heeled boots and clodhopper shoes of the men told me that most were farmers and sheepmen. Walking around the room, I introduced myself. I continued my rounds, passing through the dirty dog and the wolf's den. Both were quiet. I think my actions of the past 2 days had put a damper on things. Them that hunted trouble had seen that I wasn't going to kowtow to no one, and there just wasn't no backup in me. Stepping into the hotel, I walked up to the night clerk, a young man with slick back hair, parted smack down the middle. I spun the register and noticed, among the people that had registered that day, two names that caught my attention. Black Jack Keller and Penn Castell. Both of them was hired guns, and among the best. They come real expensive, so I'd heard. I pointed at the names.
These two gents, they still in the hotel?
no, Sheriff. They partook of our special dinner menu, and then they stepped across the street to the saloon for a drink and cards. They seemed like very nice gentlemen. Their manners were impeccable.
I blinked at that. Impeccable? Sounded like something you wouldn't want on you.
Yeah. They're just dandy fellers.